Good morning. At this time, please turn your Bibles to Isaiah 9. Again, it's Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 7. And it reads, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. May God add a blessing to the readers and hearers of his holy word.
Good morning. Aren't you glad this morning that God has raised you up in your right mind, to have a mind to serve him? We thank God for all that he has done for us. There is no other like him. We're thankful for his willingness to allow his son Jesus, our Lord, to come and die on the cross for the sins of the world. We're so thankful for that. We're thankful that our Lord has left his church behind that we can be a part of. Isn't it wonderful to be in the designated place on the designated day that God said to worship him in spirit and truth? And we ought to be grateful for that. It is truly a blessing to us. What a weekend that we have had. Yesterday was extremely successful. We loved on Quinn like we should have. Brother Barber received a visit. We have the blood drive that Brother Bill will talk about a little bit later that we will do today. We will have the visitation from Brother Gary Wider to talk about the prison ministry that we support and have supported for years. And we're just grateful that we can be involved in so much. To God be the glory. We thank Brother Ronnie for getting our mindset to receive the Word of God. We thank Brother Marlon for the way in which he has led songs to encourage us. We thank Brother Donald in that tremendous prayer that he has offered up. And thank you especially for me, praying for me, Donald. We appreciate that so very much. And then we thank Brother Mark for the reading of God's Word. Before I get into my lesson, there is one thing that I want to say concerning our sister, Pat Kwame. And I say this with all the love in my heart. I have heard this from three different people. Sister Pat is going through quite an ordeal, and she is receiving calls from Brother Earl's family, her family, and friends, and all those things that would come. But she has mentioned that we, as her family here at Arlington, is really kind of overwhelming her, too, with the calls. Now, I know you have a special relationship with Sister Pat, so do I. It's a mother-son relationship. And I think we need to understand that each time that she has to tell the story, she has to relive it and go through it over and over again. And again, I don't say this to chastise anyone here. I know that you love her, but please, let's respect her at this time and let her go through what she needs to go through. And I'm sure down the road there'll be opportunity for us to encourage her, to lift her, but let's not overwhelm her at this time. Is that okay? Okay, God bless you. Appreciate it so very much. In the reading of Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, we read about the all-powerful Lord that's going to come and everything will rest upon his shoulders. He is the designated one. He is the one, the only one that we can be saved by. We learn that in Isaiah chapter 9. In Isaiah chapter 53, which you can read later, we find that that's an all-suffering Lord that we have here, that we read about and we see, and You know, it should break our hearts to see all that he had to go through and what he was willing to go through for you and I. I asked the question on this morning, what wise, honest, grateful heart would not have an appreciation for what our Lord has done for us? Anybody who has a honest heart, a wise heart, will know that he has done for us that which no one else could have done. Now, I know as we look at our world today, there are some dishonest hearts, some ungrateful hearts, unwise people, if you will, that will tell you and I that we're nothing more than a fool to believe in that Lord and lift, you know, the pie in the sky and all the things that they say. That's what they will call you and I. But you know, the Bible says the fool have said in his heart, there is no God. One day we're going to have two different people calling each other fools that's going to stand before God Almighty and have to give an account. Which side do you want to be on? I'm on the right side and you're on the right side as well, because we believe that there is a God. And for those who do not, they will find out soon enough. You see, when we look at the Lord and we show this appreciation that we have for him, you know, we begin to look at our preparation for him. And if the Lord was to come and to visit with us today in our life, and I mean if he was to come in the physical flesh, we know that he's not going to come that way. But if he was to come to our house, our home, what will we do? How will we prepare for the Lord? You see, if he came to our home, I'm sure that we want to clean that house. We want to prepare that house as much as we could. While if the Lord is coming, he'd probably get that favorite seat that we have, that Archie Bunker seat. You know what I mean? And if he was interested in looking at TV, we'll give him the remote. In fact, if the Lord came on Super Bowl Sunday at my house, you know what? I wouldn't care about anything, even if the Dallas Cowboys was in it. The Lord is coming. And therefore, we need to understand that people make special preparation. How about that wife? What would she do? Would she not make sure that the house is spotless? And if the Lord wanted to eat it, she knew what he liked, that meal that we prepared, it would be the very best that she can do. You see, the reason that we would do all those things, because we know, for those of us who love him, there is nothing too good for the Lord. There is nothing too good for the Lord. And that's our title of our lesson on this morning. And if I had to give a subtitle, as we get later in our lesson, I think I would use the subtitle, Looking for Jesus in All the Wrong Places. So we began to look at what we have and what is this today, that there is nothing too good for the Lord. And how we would prepare ourselves if only we knew when he was coming. Isn't that the key? I mean, I don't know about you, but I would straighten up. There's some things in my life now I would just completely eliminate, and Lord knows I'm working on them. But if the Lord, if I knew when the Lord is coming, those things would be history. Because I'm waiting for the Lord to come, and I want to present the very best that I can. Over in Matthew chapter 25, let's read there, please. A very, very important familiar parable to us that talks about preparation. That's what it's all about. The Bible says at verse number 1 of Matthew chapter 25, it says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took the oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps.
And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And they went to buy. The bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. It's a parable of preparation. How a group, as the parable said, 10 was going out to see the Lord. 5 had the wisdom to say, let's take oil. 5 did not take extra oil and let their lamps burn out. When the bridegroom came and the call went out, they began to ask those who were wise, give us some of yours so our lamp can come so we can see. But the Bible says while they were told to go and buy, they went and the bridegroom came and they missed out altogether. And like anybody else, when you miss out, there's a feeling like only it can give. They asked and said, you know, Lord, you know, we went out and we didn't think about this and you came and now you're gone. Open up to us. And Jesus said to them, I never knew you. It's a parable of preparation. Who knows when the hour will come? Who knows when the day will come that the Lord will reappear unto us? If we only knew when the Lord was coming, we would gladly roll out the red carpet, wouldn't we? If we only knew. There is nothing too good for the Lord. But you know, not only is the Lord the good shepherd, and we read about that in Isaiah 53, Isaiah chapter 9, all those things that he did for us, but the Lord is also a judge. And he's going to judge this world. He's going to judge every man, you see. Every man, woman, or child of the age of accountability will have to give an account to Jesus. Now, that's the part that the world doesn't like. They will gladly, you see, receive Jesus. And I heard Brother Chris preach something a long time ago that was profound. He talked about Jesus and the baby in the manger. Now, people will not allow Jesus to grow up. They're okay with that Jesus, the one to come and you can, you know, praise over and kiss and fall out and worship. But you know what? Jesus did grow up. And he is the Lord. And as you read in Isaiah chapter 9, all things will be on his shoulder and he is going to judge this world. It's the reality. It's just the way it is, you see. But we begin to look at, picking up again at verse number 31, of chapter 25, book of Matthew, the Bible says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then will he sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He is going to separate. He is going to put those on the left who did not obey him and those on the right who did. There's going to be a great separation, you see, as we go through and look at life and who knows who has obeyed him and who's going to be right. You see, we'll be walking down the road and one will be taken, the other one won't. We'll be living in the same household. One will be taken and the other one won't. It's who has obeyed God in the end that's all that's going to matter. You begin to look at the opportunity that we have to serve Jesus. If we only knew when he was coming. You know, we began to look at and continue to read at verse number, let's see, where did we leave off? 35? Here's what Jesus said. This world has been prepared for me from the foundation of the world. It's been prepared for you. And Lord, you know, we come in and we want to see, and there's going to be a separation. And the Lord began to answer a very important question that you and I need to understand. The Bible says in verse number 35, the Lord speaking, he says, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." The Lord is saying, this is what you did to me. This is what you did for me. And the Bible goes on and says, verse number 37, "Then the righteous," that's where you and I want to be, "then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and came to you?" That's a all those profound questions. When did we see this, Lord? The Lord, you just said that you did all these things, but when did we do it? You see, they didn't even know they did it. The Bible goes on and say in verse 40, "And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." You know, it's easy to serve the Lord if it's the Lord, if we're doing it directly for the Lord. We'll roll out the red carpet. It's easy to do it that way. But the Lord said, do it to the least of them, my brethren. That means you and I got to do it for each other. And that gets a little bit more difficult, doesn't it? I like him, but, you know, some people just shouldn't be together, I guess. Our spirits don't agree. All the things that we say. But here's what the Lord said. Don't worry about doing it to me. When you do it to me, you've done it to your brethren in the Lord. Amen. That's what you and I need to understand. You see, it is a great opportunity to understand. This is the will of God. And that's why I came back to my subtitle, you see. People are looking for Jesus in all the wrong places. You're looking for the Lord to come so you can give it directly to him. Why? Because you love him. He's done nothing but good to you. But that brother that you have to see every day, I just can't do it. That's a problem. That goes against what the Bible is saying. So the Bible goes on to say in verse number 41, "Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" The Bible says in verse number 45, "Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." There it is for us. Do good to all men, especially those in the household of faith. We don't know who we are serving, right? That person that may be coming down the road and, yeah, he may be shirtless, he may be shoeless, he may be all those different things. We don't know. Do good to all men. Now, I'm not saying that you face the world, because I know we got a world of scammers. I understand that. But do good to those that you, if it's a good thing, do it. Do it, because it would only glorify God in what we do. And we simply don't know. That's what we need to understand, you see. The righteous is going to be with God because they serve and they don't even know that they did. The unrighteous will not be with God because they looking to serve, had the opportunity to serve, and did not cease or take advantage of it. Looking for Jesus in all the wrong places. You know, it's a beautiful thing to serve your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a beautiful thing. As we go through this life, you see, there's many things that happen. Life is life. We have our heartbreaks and all those things. You see, we come together, we unify. That's what family is supposed to do. That's what it's all about.
But we should also do all that we can to celebrate one another when we can, to be happy for one another. That's what life is all about. We don't need to be envious and all those different things, you see, trying to serve people. It simply does not work that way. Looking for Jesus in all the wrong places. You know, when we begin to look at those individuals who don't serve, who don't realize how to serve, flat out some know that don't want to serve, according to God's way, I cannot give to them. I do not like that person, whatever the case may be. We need to understand, because the Bible gives some instructions as well. Look at Luke chapter 14, if you will, please. Luke chapter 14. This too would teach us what we are to do and what we are not to do as we look to serve God. Luke chapter 14, starting at the 7th verse, the Bible says, "So he told a parable to those who were invited. When he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them," you know, that's our world, isn't it? We're going to go to a 5-star hotel. We're going to open it up. And man, if you get an invitation, you show your invitation. I got an invitation. I'm important. That's man. So the Bible says, you see, when you choose the best place to say to them, 8, when you are invited by anyone at a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man, and then you will begin with shame to take to the lowest place. Do you understand what the Bible is saying? Some of us walk in a place and we think that, give me the high seat. Send me to the top. Put me by the man. You see? Jump up there. Don't even realize that you barely got an invitation. But because you got an invitation, you think you're more important than you are. You go in there and say, give me the high seat. And we go there and sit there, you know, because we follow the games of the world. We don't worry about humility anymore. Let me sit by the man. Everybody see I'm sitting by the man. Therefore, I'm important too. And the Bible says he come along with somebody and say, excuse me, this man is more important than you. You need to move and let him sit here. And then you're shamed because you have to go down to a lower place. That's how it is, you see. Whereas the Bible says, as we continue to read, it says, but when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. You know, if that happens to you, if you go to the high place and ask to go down lower, your night is ruined. It's over. You are ashamed, you are embarrassed, it's over. But yes, you come and take the low place. And the guests come and say, no, I have this for you. Then you walk up there. Then you bring glory to yourself, and you're seen in high esteem. I much prefer to go low and have to go high than to go high and have to go low. Amen. I'm going to take you back 36 years ago. Lester Beans and I, we played high school basketball. In the city of Jacksonville. And I don't know what they have now. I don't even go. But, man, back then it was big time. It was NBA-like. I mean, we had the college stars coming to see us. It was great, you see. And I'll never forget, you see, because when we began to play, and I told you about me, I was a piece of work. Here's the difference between me and Lester Beans. I was good. But I thought I was great. Lester was great, but he thought he was good. People cherish Lester. Lester was so innocent. He had no idea the impact that he had on people. He had no idea. People loved him. He was screaming his name, and it was almost like, what are these people doing? I just play a little simple game. I never forget. One day, we were getting ready for a game, and Lester and I about the same height, so we lined up. And we back there doing our little warm-ups, and it's great, and everything is going on, and I see the crowd. Let's see the crowd. This lady came up. I'll never forget this. Let's know I'm telling the truth. This lady brought her little son. He was a little guy, probably about 8. And she said, excuse me, Mr. Bean, this is my son. All he talks about is you. He loves you. That's all he said. He just loves you so much. And that kid walked up to Lester and did this. He was speechless. He couldn't even say a thing because that man, that one who I love, he's there. I will never forget that. Am I telling the truth, Lester Beans? We were right back there together. There's something to be said about humility. And that's how we should be as children of God, you see. When we humble ourselves before God, people will love us. People want to be around us, you see. In that story, when you begin to read, the Bible says to take care of that, you know, that little person. You see what I'm saying? The one who doesn't expect much. Let's continue to read at verse number 12. Verse number 12, Luke chapter 14. Then he said also to him who invited him, when you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. That's playing the game, y'all. I'm inviting him to mine because I want him to invite me to his. Got to network. Got to make it work, you see. And this is the advice that the Lord has given to, this is the guest. The Bible says in verse number 13, but when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. That's what the Bible says. Don't be like those who have to be seen of men. You know, the left hand has to know what the right hand is doing. We find that, don't we? There are some people that can't. There are some people, I don't even want them to help me. They're the last people I want to know if something happened to me. You know, Brother Ace lost a job. The whole family lost a job. Yeah, we had to take some groceries over there for him. We had to make sure he eat. Look, you don't need. Do good and keep it to yourself. I'm a firm believer that good will always find you. You do good, it will find you. You don't need to tell anybody what you have done. That's the right hand, you know, not knowing what the left hand is doing. And Lord, sometimes when we give money, those who give, and perhaps they can give a little bit more than others, man, they walk around church strutting. Want word to come out. Hey, that's our biggest giver right there. That's not what God wants. That's not humility. We do things and seek the praise of God, right? Not man. That's what we need to do. Some people show respect to others. And that's, you know, that's the problem. Why do people behave that way? Why do they strut in church like that? Because others show respect to them. That's the problem. We're all in this together. We're brothers and sisters. You're no better than I'm no better than you. That's just the way it is, right? Okay, so you give a little more. Maybe I give a little more time than you. There's something for all of us to do, you see. It's not always based on money. We need to understand that. We need to understand that we're giving ourselves to God. And when you give yourself to God, guess what he gets? The money. If he truly has you, he will get your money. And you don't need to follow it either. Some people give and got to know where every penny goes. Why? Because I give the most. You want to check this out, that's out. You see what I'm saying? Hey, you have given it to the Lord. The Lord has given it to the elders to be responsible for it. He will hold them accountable for it. Now, if you got certain expertise and things about you that you can help, surely you can. Open to that. Help us to understand the things that we don't know. But don't follow it and get mad because we didn't do with it what you wanted us to do with it. I asked the question, did you really give it? Or more importantly, did you really turn it loose? That's what it is. When you turn it loose, you leave it up to those to do what is best, you see, and you pray for them, and God surely will hold them accountable.
we began to look at serving. It's about serving the least of us. Isn't that right? Some of us, and I'm going to tell you, some of us do a wonderful job, a beautiful job. We have little various things, and certainly all the time, you can't invite everybody to church. I understand that. But I know some people who have invited me, and it's interesting because you look and see who else they invited, and they're not, you know, they're the ones that can easily be forgotten, if you know what I mean. But there they say, you are invited. And it shows that side of that person who gets it, who understands, you see. Serve those who are of the lowest, and you will receive your reward at the resurrection of the just. That's what it's all about, you see. Nothing wrong with having things over. Invite those who wouldn't come, who ordinarily wouldn't be invited. You need to be looking, seeking out those people, that person is saying, you know, I don't know. You will come. And like I say, there's some of us who do a wonderful job of that. And then there are those of us who don't. Let's be honest about it, right? It makes no sense for me to invite that person. I mean, I work here, they work there. I earn this, they earn that. That's dangerous. That's what the Bible is talking about here. We serve the Lord. Here's the bottom line of this lesson on this morning. We serve the Lord by serving each other. Amen. Don't look to serve Jesus in the flesh. Serve Jesus in the spirit. That's the brethren, right? That's all of us. We ought to have a love for one another. We ought to prefer one another. I love this church. I love every member of this church. I don't care how you feel about me. I love you. You got to deal with that. All I know is I can go home and I can rest peacefully because I love everybody. That's just the way it is. I love the body of Christ. I love Arlington. And when I see you people in any setting besides church, I am thrilled. I am happy to see you. I run to you. Don't you know there's some people in the body of Christ, and I know it to be a fact here because it happened right here, that some people were in the body of Christ, same church, see a person and begin to duck and hide from them. What kind of sense that make? That's what people do. They have not understood what the Bible is saying. We serve the Lord by serving one another. Some of the same people that you're sitting in this audience today, you have to spend eternity with them in heaven, right? I said some. But all of us need to be trying to get in that position. Clear your heart. Have no malice for anyone. Love the body of Christ. You see what I'm saying? We all got our quirks. I know there's things about me that you don't like. Love me. Love me. Give me my space and, you know, when you had enough of me, then let me go and go back to your place and see me again and we'll start all over again, you see? Love me. And I'll do the same thing for you. And you know what? We'll be all right and we'll be able to serve God. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse number 9 says this. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as God's stewards of the manifold grace of God. That's what the Bible says, you see. We are to be hospitable to one another without complaining. Be hospitable. We know how to do that, right? Most of us was born and raised in the South anyway, and it comes natural to us, doesn't it? Those that born and raised in the South. We understand that. So we need to just be open and helpful and encouraging to one another because we're not going to be here for a very long time. Some will be here longer than others,
But we're all going to have a day we have to leave this place and stand before God Almighty and give an account of the of these lives that we live for Him. When I look at this audience, you know what I say? You're in the right place at the right time. You've obeyed the gospel. You've worked out your own salvation. You stand now in a position to go to heaven. Don't let anyone take that away from you. Don't allow yourself to take that away from you. We've come a long way. There's a world out there that's lost that don't know Jesus. Some who say there is no Jesus. There is no God. But we have put ourselves in a position to be with Him forever. Don't let any of these things take that away from you. Don't let heartbreak. Don't let disappointment. Don't let discouragement. Don't let any of those things take you away from where you are today. Serve God. And in the end, we're going to be happy that we did what we did. Isn't that going to be something? That'd be something to see. To be on the other side and look back and say, do you remember the hard times? But I'm so glad that you and I hung in there. Now we have no more pain. No more tears, you see. No more heartbreak. No more loneliness. No more of any of those negative things. Just to be with God and to serve Him for the rest of our lives. Be hospitable to one another, the Bible says, without grumbling. Don't look for Jesus in all the wrong places. If you want to see Jesus, look at His people. If you want to serve Jesus, serve His people. If you want to love Jesus, love His people. That's what the Bible is telling us to do, and that's certainly what we can do on this day. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, we're calling you to be a child of God this day. There's no greater thing that you can do. If you are not a member of the New Testament church, the one that Jesus talked about, you see, Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, when He said, upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Singular. Church, it, those words are singular. The Lord only promised to build one church. I don't say that to be mean, but the Bible is right. You got to separate yourself from the confusion of this world, you see? The Bible is right. The Lord promised to build one church. That church bears His name. It is the church of Christ, and we stand by that, not in arrogance, but we will teach and sit with you and show what the Bible has to say. We don't apologize for what the Bible says. Amen. It's the Word of God. We do not apologize for it. But we do our very best with all the love in our hearts, the compassion that we can show, to show you what God said in His Word. Jesus promised to build one church. And one church is all that He built. I don't care what all the people out there are saying. I don't care what the false teachers are saying. I don't care how big their organizations are. I don't care how big their churches are. The Bible is right. And no man can change that. You come, if you're not a member of that church, by hearing this word. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then you need to believe that word. Hebrews chapter 11, and verse 6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. But he that come to God must believe that He is, and that He rewarded them that diligently seek Him. Then you need to repent of your sins. Luke chapter 13, the verses 3, Jesus said, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Then we need to confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Matthew chapter 10, the verses are 32 and 33. He says, if you confess Me before men, I confess you for My Father which is in heaven. But if you deny Me before men, I will deny you for My Father which is in heaven. Then we all need to be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter told him, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then we all need to remain faithful until the end. Revelation chapter 2, and the verse is 10. That's what I was talking about earlier. Don't let anybody take away your crown. Hang in there. Yes, there'll be tribulation. Yes, we'll be persecuted. Hang in there till the end, you see. It'll be so well worth it. And that's what the Bible is instructing us to do, you see, to be faithful unto death. If you're a child of God this morning,
and you have not. Love your brother and sister in Christ like you should. This is the opportunity for you to turn a new leaf in life over. I'm going to start today. I'm going to start afresh. And I'm going to do what the Bible had me to do. And I'm going to work out all that I need to work out because I'm going to love Christ's body. I'm going to love my brother. I'm going to love my sister. And if you have not done that, change that today. Why? Because you have positioned yourself to serve God. Don't let something like that keep you from an eternity of being with God. Correct it today, you see. You come by coming down, asking the saints to pray along with you, asking God to forgive you, and he will because he is just. If you're here this morning, you need a prayer, you know someone it is, why don't you come as together we stand and sing the invitational song.